Okay. Hi. My name is Chris Savari, and I work for Multnomah County Health Department. Our director is in the office, and I want to give her a call up, and I'll tell you why in a little bit. Lillian, can you raise your hand and say hello? She's going to be acting crazy for doing that. And Priscilla Lewis was going to present with me, and she is the executive director of community benefits for the Providence healthcare system and the area in which I'm working. But she was unable to come today. But it gives you just a kind of a hint of the collaboration we're having with health departments and with hospitals. And we try to get everyone out to do these presentations. Okay, I have no relationships whatsoever to disclose. Priscilla doesn't either. What I do have to disclose is I'm still recovering from Tokyo time. So I'm exactly 12 and a half hours ahead of you, so I'm in tomorrow. So if I blank out for a second, bring me back in, okay, because that's where I am. I need to use the microphone.
We're recording.
I walk too much.
Rip it out. There you go.
Thank you.
And I'll count up. I'll do five. Ten.
Thank you. Okay, so our learning objectives. I'm going to make it to the end of the day and just real people speak. Okay. I'm going to tell you what the collaborative is, who we are. I'm going to tell you what we're doing, and I'm going to tell you what we learned, what we messed up on, what we learned, and what we're going to take moving forward. Those are our learning objectives. So the first one, who are we? We're called the Healthy Columbia Willamette, and that's because we're in a four-county region in Washington and Oregon. It's in that blue section, and we have two major rivers that go through there, the Columbia River and the Willamette River. And so we wanted to use a term, a geographic term, that really will represent all of the counties as opposed to kind of pointing to one more than the other. And so the counties involved, we have, and sorry I don't have a bigger picture of our particular project area, but the one on top is Clark County, Washington. Now, Clark County, Washington is the home of Vancouver, Washington. It is connected to Oregon by two bridges. 30% of their population come to Oregon for work. They don't have any income tax. Oregon has a sales tax, so there's a nice relationship in some ways there. A pretty homogenous population, mostly Caucasian white. There is a significant refugee and immigrant population of folks from the former Soviet Union. And they are looking into doing some urban renewal activity because they kind of get pulled into Portland. Portland's a much larger metropolis. It has a different kind of economy. They are 3 hours south of Seattle, but really do relate more with Portland. Now let's go to Clackamas County. That's in Oregon. Clackamas County is the largest geographically based county in our collaborative. Mount Hood. How many of you have heard of Mount Hood? It's there, great skiing in Mount Hood. Also known for fruit, the Fruit Loop, where people can go around all the different farms. We have a very rich and strong Latino community there. Many are there for seasonal work, or at least that's how people got there. It was the home to a recent shooting in a mall. And it has a really strong sense. There's very specific towns and cities within it. It's so large. Of a real strong sense of identity. And an identity that we don't necessarily want to be pulled into this more metropolitan area of Portland or of Vancouver. Okay? And then Washington County, Oregon Wineland, okay? Home of Intel, home of Nike. Real disparities of rich and poor. Very car dependent and beautiful. And I purposely put these things out here to show we are very diverse in many different ways, okay? And so, and I want to be sensitive. I know we had a shooting again yesterday, but I did want to point out that it happens here too, okay? It happens everywhere. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so in 2010, how did we come about? In 2010, our local health care folks, so all the hospitals and all the public health departments, and Lillian Shirley was one of them from Multnomah County, got together and said, hey, we have a lot of community health assessments coming down the road here. Why don't we talk about doing them together? And the group talked about it. It took about a year, those conversations, and this was before my time. But, you know, the Oregon Association of Hospitals and Healthcare Systems made that happen. They got people together to have those conversations. And, you know, the CEOs of the hospital, so a lot of people ask me, well, how did you get your collaborative together? And it was because all the people with the power got together and met, so we had our CEOs, we had our directors of the health departments, and they said, we'd like to do this. Okay, what are we going to do? Well, we absolutely have to have a neutral convener, because we don't want to say one of us, you know, is going to do it. It's going to be a private-public collaborative. We all need to make a 3-year financial commitment to this process. And what we can do is we can't come to all the meetings and do the work, but we're going to have people in our organizations do that, have enough decision-making power to move the process forward, but also have direct contact with us for those decisions that we need to be involved in, meaning the executive directors or the CEOs or the CFOs. And then just recently this year, we added our two, in Oregon, our coordinated care organizations, which are our accountable care organizations. So now they've come on as well. And I want to just give a brief example of the complexity and how whenever we make a decision, we have to think of these things. And I hardly ever think of these things, so we often have to revisit the decisions. So the partner types. So we have 14 hospitals, 4 local health departments, and 2 coordinated care organizations. We have 2 states, Oregon and Washington. They have different availability of data. We have 4 counties, as I've discussed. We have density. We have very urban and very rural areas. We have different partner sizes. We have multi-hospital systems. You know, a system could have 7 hospitals. We have community hospitals. You know, they're one. It's been the same hospital there forever, and they're a standalone. We have large health departments, thousands of employees. We have smaller health departments, hundreds of employees. We have large CCOs and small CCOs. We have a whole lot of competitors around the room. They all have different requirements. We have the IRS requirements for the hospitals, the accreditation requirements, and we have state requirements for our CCOs, our accountable care organizations. So I put that out there because every day I need to remind myself of this so I don't make too many mistakes in that day. I'm being a little flip, but it's really true. It really affects all of our decision making. So we got together and they said, okay, what are the costs? Well, the hospitals really wanted immediately to have something out there with the data presence. So they did decide to purchase one of the online platforms, with the dashboards that put the data out there. So that was a done deal. They said we have to have that to move forward. We also want a neutral convener. And the neutral convener, they put out an RFP. They asked people to apply. We happen to be a health department, but it wasn't it wasn't designated for a public health department to do it. It could have been other organizations, our health institute, local health institute, public health institute applied. It just so happened that we got it. And so I do work, and make this very clear, I do work for Multnomah County, but I do not represent Multnomah County on this collaborative. I am the convener. We have 2 people from Multnomah County who get the vote from Multnomah County. So our hospitals, so we did figure out how people are going to pay for it. So what we did, so there's 18 entities, right? So we divided by 18. Each of the health departments paid $118. So let's say $15,000 per year. They paid $15,000, making up the numbers. And then, so you have 14 18ths left, right? And so then the hospitals decided they were going to pay the rest of that. This is before the coordinated care organizations came on. So they decided to base their rate on their hospital discharges. So we have one hospital paying $5,000 a year. We have another hospital paying $27,000 a year. And they felt together that was the most equitable way to do it. Now when in year 2, which is just recent, when our new partners, the accountable care organizations, came on, they needed to buy the product already from the first year, and they needed to then move in forward. So the group decided to they charged them a pretty hefty bill for it, because the convener, my team, it was a lot more expensive than we got in the contract. And Lillian, to her credit, knew that and said, it's okay, we really want to serve this function as public health to help the hospitals out. But as things have moved forward, we're like, no, this is really expensive. I have 4 staff doing it. We need to have more money. And so we did charge them for the difference. Okay, so what are we doing? How many minutes do I have left?
Sorry,
I
expected you have
40?
You have 8 minutes.
Okay. So this is the map. How many of you are familiar with map? Okay, I'm going to go real brief. The top, we modified it some. The top 4 yellow boxes are our map assessments, community themes and strengths, health status, local community health systems, and forces of change. Our community themes and strengths, rather than collecting primary data, we looked at all the different assessments that had been conducted since 2009 in the region. We had found over 120 of them. We narrowed it down to 62. And the criteria had to be, they had to be conducted between 2009, and they actually had to have input from individual members, not from our colleagues in different organizations. For our health status assessment, we had a wonderful, and still have a wonderful team, of our epidemiologists from the four health departments. Two of them are here, hands up. And they came up with a pretty sophisticated methodology to look at indicators. They looked at 127 indicators, focusing primarily on health behaviors and health outcomes, and we have reports for each of these areas. We then compared the findings from those two. What are the themes from those previously conducted assessments? What are our data showing us? And we found very similar things. There was just one or two that didn't show up in the community, and I'm not going to get to that level. So then we took that list of 9 or 10 things, and then we surveyed and we interviewed 157 folks who work in the health system. Okay, government, some academic, safety net clinics, that type of thing, and said, this is a list, what's missing? And they told us. And then we said, okay, from your list of what we've given you, the list of what's missing, what are the most important? And they told us. So then we had a bigger list, okay? And as we interviewed them, we said, you know, what are the forces of change coming to? You know, what is your capacity and what's your forces of change? What would help you? So we get this. So now we have this list. It's bigger. The group said, Chris, you keep making this list bigger. It's supposed to get smaller. And so then we brought it out through a series of community listening discussions. We did 14 of them with 202 people. We did them in all of the different reaches of every county. And we again then said, what's missing? And they told us. And then we said, okay, vote for your top five individually. We did groups of 10. We didn't want, because of group dynamic, we didn't want somebody to take over or dominate the conversation. And we also didn't want majority. So they picked it. We came back. And then we brought it back to the larger group. And that's in that green box. So we gave them us all information. And that's, if you see, we're going to address the community needs. We didn't get there. So we got to year one, the blue. So then year two, so now we're going to the green again. So the leadership group got it. Once we distilled it all, it fell into, and none of these should surprise you, access to affordable health care, behavioral health, which includes substance abuse, and mental health and chronic disease. So immediately we then reached out to 80 content experts in those areas, and I did some surveying with them and talking with them, interviews, very casual, and had them come for all-day forum and say, What are the best practices, and what can we do as a collective? You know all the people here around the room now. What can we do to help you in the community to improve these issues or address these issues? And so they told us. And so we have that list now, and so now we're in the process of figuring out what we're going to do. Because some of the things that they told us are things that we can't really do, and some of the things we really wanted to do, and so we're really trying to look at what are our criteria for making our final decisions. And I could go into that, but I won't. But these two dark yellow or pumpkin color ones are really the next work we have. I'll go to the easier one first, and that's increase local assessment capacity. And so our wonderful EPI team is working on replacing that purchased website or web platform so that we can bring that money back to our local public health departments rather than paying an out-of-state vendor. We're going to work with community partners to identify those data gaps, perhaps add questions to the BRFIS, so we can really reach out to our Native American nations. More, we have low participation in that by hiring community health workers and saying, hey, it's okay, they're going to call you, it's okay, they're cool, you can answer the questions, you know, and those types of things. We might develop some primary data collection sources, but as we all know, that's extremely expensive if we're wanting them to continue. And then also, we've already started doing our community health needs assessment for the next round. We're also looking at what's being conducted right now and starting to take an inventory of all those findings. The first pumpkin-colored bar, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do in all those three areas and how we're going to do it. And the really cool thing is this group of hospitals, the CCOs, and the health departments want to do them together. So we're going to have a collective chip, and then each of the hospitals and each of the health departments are going to have their own chip, but the collective will be a subset for all of them. And they really want to roll up their sleeves and work on them together. And so now we're looking at opiates, and I can tell you for the drug opiates, we are going to be promoting the adoption across all health systems, a standardized opiate prescribing policy, because heroin use is huge, and prescription drugs is huge in our community. We're looking at suicide, trying to figure out how we want to do that. And we're looking at, you know, we do tertiary, secondary, and primary prevention. And then we're doing some other things, too, but they're still working. So that's what we're doing right now, and that's where we're going. And then, really quickly, what have we learned? It's been working because the CEOs started it. So we have high-level buy-in. Hospital partnerships had existed before we got together. They're competitors, but they also work together, you know, and they know each other, and that's great. You know, having my team be neutral to the point where sometimes, you know, a couple times Lillian has called me and said, hey, you know, what's going on in this? Not trying to influence the process, but trying to get me and get information. I go, you got to go to your Multnomah County reps. Director, because I should represent everyone. She's like, oh, I forgot. You know, and she's been great about that. And, you know, and we have biases. I mean, and I have to be honest with you guys, public health has been the problem for me. You know, we have to get over our biases around hospitals. They're not, you know, the whole medical industrial complex. We need to let it go, you know, to a certain extent. There's some truth to it, but they need to let go of the fact that, oh, public health is going to take forever. So I've done a pre and post, and those things are starting to go away, you know, which is great. And then just staying in contact with everybody, telling bad jokes throughout the month. I keep, you know, in contact with folks. And then what's cool about it is the size of the collaborative. I mean, it's all the hospitals, all the health departments, all the coordinated care organizations. When we call up another community group and say, here's what I want to learn from you, they're like, yeah, I want to be there because you guys have all this influence, which is great. And the other thing is, you know, this is a meeting in perpetual, right? We meet once a month. People are constantly saying, hey, can I bring this person too? And I've never been in a group where people are wanting to bring their friends and family to come to the meeting. You know, I'm going to bring my other director, and I want to bring, and so it's great. And so people come to the meetings, they're always there. And really quick challenges, I mentioned it, the hospitals are this way, public health is this way. The big one was to identify the appropriate person with the authority and the content knowledge to make some of the decisions, you know, like around the policy, let's say the opiate prescribing policy. We need to get the medical directors in the room, you know, so. And then also data, how we can use more of the hospital data and the CCO data. We've used a lot of public health data, of course, at this point. And then this is the one, now that we're bumping up against, okay, now what are we going to do? Who has money to put forward? Really clear, unclear expectations of how much money they can put forward or were expected to put forward to doing something new. Not just saying this is what we do these classes, this is going to count, but actually doing something new. And, you know, they've been really honest. We don't know how much of our charity care is going to really go down. Until we know how much is really going to go down, you know. And so this first year we're kind of doing some bridge projects, and then next year they've said, yeah, then we'll be able to commit some money. We'll see where we are, and we're going to be able to commit some money. But we're acknowledging that up front. And that's it. And then we have a website down here, the Healthy Columbia Willamette. We have several reports out there. This is a sense of, these are in our area really big players, and so these are our partners. I did that really fast, and I left out a lot, but thank you.
Thank you. Great presentation. So questions. If you want to debate the medical industrial complex with Chris, you can do that over a drink. Please keep them brief, and go ahead.
I'm Mike Federer from Georgetown, and I agree with you, Chris. We have to get over that. And I think that the
Sure. Well, the Wisconsin Hospital Association is our key partner on our steering committee. So they've been with us from day one. They see us as their major resource for the work we've been doing as major resource for their hospitals. I told you, Wisconsin's a really independent state, so there's not one way it's happening in Wisconsin. Sarah mentioned to you the 10 pilot sites that are testing these tools. Of those 10 pilot sites, two are led by hospitals, and in a number of the rest of them, while health departments may be leading them, the hospitals are involved. In fact, they had to be involved in order to be selected, both the health department and the hospital, if there was one in their county. We have counties that don't have hospitals. And we have some great models in our state of doing, not quite as complex a system as you have, but for example, the city of Milwaukee, all of the health systems in Milwaukee have come together with all of the health departments in Milwaukee to do this work together in terms of the community health assessment. They are running up against, they can't quite figure out how to do the implementation part. I mean, I shouldn't say it that way. They're trying to figure it out because it's the new cutting edge. So we've got everybody's doing their own thing.
But the hospitals aren't picking up on the county CHNAs for their own organization.
They are. I would say there's probably not a hospital in Wisconsin that is not aware of the county CHNA or the community health assessment. I had an interchange where the hospital leader said the local health department director came to her office. This is in a rural community, and said, "Good. Now you guys have to do this. We've had to do it for all this year. Your turn." And I've had local health directors say, "Yeah, the hospital just wants us to hand over our community health assessment and check the box and say this is it." So, you know, we've had this kind of animosity going both ways. But for the most part, I would say people are at the table together. But there's also a lot of unknown about what the IRS means, about what they have to have. And so how it's been interpreted in Wisconsin, I'm interested, Chris, if this is what you guys are seeing too, is that each hospital has to have their own community health needs assessment. So that's been interpreted in some places as you have the exact same document with a cover page that says Hospital A, Hospital B, Hospital C, but it has to be branded with your hospital, adopted by your board of directors, and you have to have the document that says this is this hospital's. They have been counseled by their legal counsel not to have one that has six hospitals and six health departments together and everybody adopt the same document. They've been told you have the same content, but your name has to be on the front. I don't know how yours have done that.
Ours are doing it, so all of our documents, they can cut and paste, good old-fashioned cut and paste. They have all of the, what's important is they have all of the documentation as far as who we've contacted, so we have all of the, you know, all of the particular prescribed populations. And so they have all of that. We have everything by county, and in our case, we don't have enough numbers in our population to report to find problems, if you will, by, you know, zip code area. So they're able to use county, and so they are using a lot of it. They did get permission to do that, but they're also, we also are trying to get data by zip code whenever possible. But if, let's say, we pick, you know, African-American low birth weight, well, we know in which zip codes that's occurring, and so the hospitals within that, if we chose to do that collectively, the hospitals that are serving those particular zip codes would do it. You know, so the folks who say more on how they're going to implement the health improvement plan activities in their zip code area, and not so much about the assessment, but they each are having their own local on it.
So I just want to comment, in addition to local hospital and health department collaboration, as Julie mentioned, there's also at the state level, which has been operationalized both in terms of attending meetings, so the hospital association is on our collaborative, but Julie has done a presentation at our statewide public health conference with one of the leaders in the hospital association. They did quite a clever skit related to how hospitals think about community health improvement and how health departments think about community health improvement. And it's one thing I wish we had on this video.
I'm glad we don't.
But the hospital association has also sent out information that was developed through the project. They've encouraged their member hospitals to participate in surveys that we sent out. They've helped craft a survey. So it's both, and at the state level, they're modeling it, and it's also occurring in many cases at the local level.
I'm Dan Merrigan. I'm from Boston University. And my question is, you spoke to it a little bit of the challenge of getting data for metropolitan. So one of my concerns is maybe what as panelists, what are your thoughts and insights about how to go further with the local area data, particularly in light of the fact that we know that local area is so important. And a related question is, when you're trying to pare down, you know, the key indicators that you're going to be collecting data on, what was the decision process to include certain contextual, local area contextual indicators? that's my question. And I ask the question, too, because I'm trying to, as an educator, I'm trying to prepare new professionals to be able to engage in this kind of work. And we're really, in our social epidemiology, you know, it's beyond behavioral epidemiology, it's social epidemiology, trying to help young people understand the pathways. And say, but if we don't measure these things, nothing's going to change. And I'm kind of confused as to how that translates into practice.
I don't want to dominate this mic because I'm holding it.
So we've been doing some work with the Georgia Health Department, health departments in Georgia. And the point I would want to make to you is like, as you pointed out, you know, about Massachusetts, you are like the one extreme where there are like so many health departments that are very, very small. And I think it's, so the kind of data that would be useful and that are needed for these community health assessments somewhat depends on, you know, at what level your public health is organized. In Georgia, for instance, there is a different kind of challenge, and that challenge is there are some health departments, so there are districts, 18 districts health departments, and there are 159 counties. And they decided to build this year that they want to probably go by district as a unit to get accredited. So all of those things have to happen somehow. They have to show the community health assessment has been done in all counties at some level. So for the Georgia Health Department, the ones that we are working with, they are just trying to get secondary data, but also planning to get some primary data collection going. None of the health departments have actually been accredited in Georgia. There are, I think, there's one or two very close to submitting that, which none have done. But these are the issues. I know that's not a direct answer to your question, but these are the issues that would be different from place to place, the public health, at least in those two cases, is extreme in terms of geographic units, and there are in between where you know county-based, there are a lot of county-based health departments.
Were you going to comment on it?
Well, I guess I'm going to make a comment. Also, it's tied off to the flag, but a couple things. I think that's true, but I think there's some principles. And I think a public health emergency preparedness is like a cliche. We always say, you know, at the emergency, at the volcano, at the hurricane, it is not a good time to exchange cards. You know, we should know each other before we get into that situation. So I think that's a principle here, too, that the principles coming together, knew each other, maybe
qualitative data matters.
Yeah.
That we obsess over all of these health statistics, and that focus group data, key informant data, neighborhood meetings, really engaging the people that your community health workers will talk with is really critical in how we can get better at helping people find reliable ways to collect that data and then use it. The other thing we're finding is people are working more and more on trying to think about how we can use electronic health record data. I mean, we have a Wisconsin, but they're also doing it at a local level and collecting data, working on getting data directly from electronic health records. And they're doing it because they have relationships and they can build it up and get people to have the data agreements they can to share that data out of that source. And then they may have the opportunity to do it at smaller area estimates or smaller geographic, zip code level. And I'm fascinated by your epidemiologist link because I think they also the opportunity to have an epidemiologist on staff who has the time and the expertise to take the data that's available in your local community and slice it and dice it and map it and think about it differently is really helpful as well too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Well, let's thank our presenters again. And thank you for coming.